So, how's life treating you, Anne? Any chance of a cup of coffee? I could use a good cup of coffee.
Anne moved slowly over to the coffee maker, steaming quietly away in its corner, as always.
I suppose you want some chocolate biscuits, too.
If it wouldn't be too much trouble.
Anne scowled at him.
Look at what you've done to my door. Why didn't you just use your Paragon skeleton key, you idiot? I know very well you never got around to turning it in. This is why Paragons were given the bloody thing, so you wouldn't have to make a mess like this.
Ah. It didn't occur to me. I've had a lot on my mind just recently. I haven't always been thinking too clearly.
Trust me, Lewis, I've noticed.
Anne dropped into her own chair, facing him. And then they just sat there and looked at each other for a long time, almost like two strangers, sizing each other up. The last of the drifting smoke disappeared as the extractor fans got to work on it, but it seemed to Anne that there was still something in the office with them. Unspoken words, perhaps. Decisions made that could never be apologized for, or put right. There was a distance between them, a subtle tension that had never been there before. Even sitting still, sipping at his coffee, the Deathstalker looked dangerous. For the first time in her life, Anne realized that she didn't feel entirely safe in Lewis's presence.
Oh God, Lewis, how have we come to this? What has Jess done to you? You used to have more sense.
I just wanted to be happy for once.
And to hell with what it cost everyone else?
Love's a bitch sometimes.
I wouldn't know.
Another long pause, as both of them searched for the words that would make sense of what had happened to them. Words to bridge a widening gap that was leading them both into different worlds. Words they could shout across the gap, like lifelines thrown from ships sailing in different directions.
None of this was my choice. I've lived so long without love, I thought I could live without it forever if I had to. I had other things to give my life purpose and meaning. I had duty and honor. I had friends. Good friends. Friends I would have died for. I had work that mattered, and my life made a difference. I was happy. Mostly. And then love came along, right out of the blue. And I realized I'd never really known what happiness was. Only problem, I had to give up everything else that mattered to me to have it. Don't blame Jess for any of this. We were just two people who should never have met, for everyone's sake but our own. We tried so hard to stay away from each other, Anne. To do the right thing, and to hell with what it cost us. But the universe seemed almost to conspire to push us together.
Oh, sure. It's not your fault. It never is. The universe just pushed you right into bed.
Don't try to make this out to be nothing but sex, Anne. I'm old enough to know the difference between my heart and my dick. I love her, and she loves me. And yes, we slept together. And it was wonderful.
Good enough to sell your soul for? You're not telling me anything I don't already know, Lewis. And if I know, it won't be long before others know, too. You can't keep a thing like this secret. Jess isn't worth all this, Lewis. I've seen it all before with other men. I've known her a lot longer than you have.
This time it's different.
That's what they all say. You think you're the first man to come crying to me over Jess? I've been here before, and it always ends in tears.
I thought she was your friend.
She is. That's why I don't have any illusions about her. Though this time, I thought she'd have more sense. I thought you'd have more integrity. Don't come looking to me for forgiveness or support. Don't expect me to pat you on the shoulder and say, hey, these things happen. This is treason we're talking about, Lewis. When this gets out, and you can bet your last credit it will, almost certainly sooner rather than later, it could destroy the throne and the house and everything else we've spent our life supporting and believing in.
I know. But soon, it'll all be over. She's going to marry Douglas, and I'm going off on the Great Quest. And everyone will live happily ever after. Eventually.
Anne looked at him sharply.
There was something in your voice just then. When you talked about the Quest, Don't you even believe in that anymore?
Lewis hesitated and looked away, unable to meet her eyes. He couldn't tell her Owen was dead. She wouldn't be able to keep it to herself. She'd feel duty-bound to tell someone, and once the word started spreading, it would never stop. It would be all over the media. Lewis couldn't be responsible for that. It would be cruel to take away humanity's last hope in the face of the coming terror. He looked back at Anne, trying to frame some comforting lie, but her eyes bored into his, and the words turned to ashes in his mouth.
The AIs told you something, didn't they? What is it? What could be so bad you don't want to tell me? What do they know that they've kept from us?
And still he couldn't tell her the truth. So he told her a partial truth instead.
They showed me records from the days of the rebellion. Showed me Owen and Hazel and the others. The people, rather than the legends. It was disconcerting to see them as only human, rather than myths in the flesh. But they were glorious, magnificent, great fighters. But they didn't look like miracle workers. Maybe humans, even those who've passed through the madness maze, won't be enough to stop something like the terror. It might not be wise to pin all our hopes on them, even if we can find them.
But they had powers. They did amazing things.
Did they? Or is that just part of the legend? The stories Robert and Constance made up to inspire us. Shub told me many things, but in the end what I saw was just a man called Owen. A great man, certainly. But whatever my ancestor was, he wasn't the god we've been sold for the past 200 years.
Maybe not. It doesn't matter. Your ancestor and his friends worked a miracle once, when they overthrew Lionstone and her evil empire and laid the foundations for our golden age. Maybe they can do it again. They could still be alive out there, somewhere. The quest is necessary, Lewis. We need to find Owen, if only to inspire us again. Tell me, if it turned out that you were the one to find the Blessed Owen, what would you say to him?
Lewis had tried to hint at the truth, but she didn't want to hear it. He considered her question honestly, surprised to find that the answer mattered to him as well as to her.
I think I'd ask him where he found the strength to make so many hard decisions. And perhaps I'd ask him to come back and be the Deathstalker, so I wouldn't have to anymore. Selfish, I know. But sometimes this name weighs so damned much. People expect so much of me because of it. And just like Owen, I'm not allowed to be only human, with human needs and weaknesses.
I don't know what to do, Anne!
He rose abruptly from his chair and slammed the coffee mug down on Anne's desk, slopping hot coffee everywhere. He paced around the office, not looking at Anne, circling the confined space over and over again like a caged animal, while Anne watched him warily from her chair. He was scowling now, his eyes far away, his ugly face flushed with anger and frustration, and something that might just have been despair. Barely suppressed violence showed in the bulging muscles of his arms, in the set of his shoulders, and the heavy tread of his feet. It frightened Anne to see Lewis like this, a strong man reduced to baffled indecision. Sooner or later he was going to lash out, and the only question was who was going to get hurt, apart from himself.
All the things I believed in seem to have been built on sand, and the tide is washing it all away. No one's who I thought they were, not even me. Everywhere I look, my world has fallen apart. The people have gone insane, all the great institutions have feet of clay, and the terror is finally here and headed right down our throats. I finally find love, after so many years alone, and I have to walk away from it. Because just like my bloody ancestor, I'm not allowed to think about my own life, my own wants and needs and desires. I'm a paragon and a death stalker, so I have to be better than that.
He hit the wall again and again, bloodying his knuckles. Anne's hands went to her mouth, as she clearly heard bones crack and break. Anne rose slowly up out of her chair, walked up behind him, and hesitantly put one hand on his shoulder. He rounded on her, and then he hugged her to him, clinging to her like a child. She rocked him gently as he wept.
It's all right. It's all right.
They held each other tightly, the way they used to back when they were children, and the whole world, it seemed, to be against them.
No, love, it's all right.
Finally, Lewis ran out of tears. Nothing left in him but a terrible, empty tiredness. And in the end, he was the one who let go first, who straightened up and gently pushed Anne away. He'd always been the one who'd been able to do the hard, harsh, necessary things. Anne stepped back, studying him with thoughtful eyes. Lewis found a clean handkerchief and dried his eyes. His hands were entirely steady. He looked at his bloody, broken hand. He awkwardly wrapped the handkerchief around it. Anne watched him do it, and felt a slow, cold pain in her breast, where her heart would have been if she'd believed in sentimental things like hearts. And before she could stop herself, the words came rushing out.
Lewis, maybe we could run away. You and me, together. Forget all this. Just jump a ship, any ship, heading anywhere, and leave all this behind us. To hell with it all, to hell with everyone but us. Neither of us likes who and what we've become since we came here. To this world, this city, these lives.
No.
It's not too late. We could
no,
still...
No, we couldn't. Not and still have any respect for each other. Or ourselves. I can't just walk away. I still have my responsibilities, my duty, and my honor. Tarnished a bit, perhaps. But they're the only things left in my life that still make sense. I couldn't give them up and still be me. I've lost so much, and I'll have to give up even more. But I still know what it means to be a Deathstalker.
Duty and responsibility. I am so tired of those words. We gave our lives to them, but what do they ever do for us? Do they make us content? Did they make us happy?
Could we ever be happy somewhere else? Knowing we'd turned our backs on the only things we'd ever really believed in? No, Anne. Sometimes you just have to suck it in and play the cards you're dealt. Because to do anything else would be to betray ourselves. To make our lives a lie.
This is your last chance, Lewis.
Her eyes were pleading.
I know. Trust me. I know.
He stepped forward and kissed her tenderly on the forehead.
But sometimes the only honorable thing left to do is to take your hand away from the lifeboat and drown. Goodbye, Anne. I don't think we'll be meeting again. First, I gotta get this hand fixed. And then I've got a lot of work to do, planning the logistics for the quest. I won't be at the wedding, and I don't think I'll be coming back. Let Douglas and Jessamine have their life together, without a specter at the feast to spoil it.
He smiled finally, sadly.
Who knows? Maybe I'll find an answer to all my woes somewhere out there on the quest. There sure as hell isn't one here.
He left her office then, not looking back. Anne watched him go in silence, refusing to cry so much as a single tear. And finally, she turned away. There was work to be done, and calls to be made. Lewis Deathstalker has made the heartbreaking decision to honor his family name and give up his one true love. As he grimly prepares for the great quest, in desperate search of his legendary ancestor Owen, Missing for 200 years, and seemingly humanity's only hope against the monstrous terror, he is summoned to Parliament, where he soon finds his best intentions will be repaid with treachery. Finn Girondal's machinations threaten to bring more than just Lewis's life to ruin, but also that of the one he holds most dear. But very much like his ancestor, the Deathstalker may find surprising allies in unexpected places, and he will need all the help he can get to survive the hellstorm his life has become. Deathstalker Legacy, Episode 6, The Better Part of Valor. Deathstalker Legacy, Terror in the Night is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2002, Simon R. Green. Production copyright 2007, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Richard Rowan, Michael Glenn, David Coyne, Vanessa Benjamin, Sonny Lasky, Dylan Lynch, Jeff Baker, Ken Jackson, James Konacek, Tim Carlin, Karen Carbone, and Mort Shelby. Directed by Rick Rowan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornette. Dialogue editing by Chris Rowan. Graphic audio sound design by Chris Rowan and Dan Smith. The Deathstalker Legacy theme was composed by Dan Smith. Additional original music by Dan Smith and Chris Rowan. If you enjoyed Deathstalker Legacy, be sure to look for James Axler's Outlanders, available at road stops everywhere, at 1-800-670-5220, or at www.graphicaudio.net.
We made mistakes sometimes, but it was nothing like what's happening here. Things have gotten out of hand on this Earth. You have.
Coming soon to Graphic Audio.
This wasn't supposed to happen.
The biggest event in DC Comics history.
Look what's going on across the globe, Bruce. Do you really believe that humanity is going to rise above it themselves?
Will be the biggest event in audiobooks.
This is war.
Graphic Audio presents...
The day I long feared has come.
DC Comics...
Lex Luthor cannot be brought low like this!
Infinite Crisis...
This looks like a job for...
The movie is in your mind. www.graphicaudio.net.
Infinite Crisis and all related titles, characters, and elements are trademarks of DC Comics. Copyright 2007, DC Comics.
From the pen of William W. Johnstone, acclaimed author of the graphic audio series Eagles, comes a new breed of Western, Blood Bond. They are blood brothers. Matt Bodine is a son of the frontier. Sam Two Wolves is an educated son of a Cheyenne war chief and a white mother. The two become blood brothers on the day the rancher's son saves the half-breed's life, forging a bond no man can break. Beneath the Montana big sky, Matt learns the ways of the Cheyenne from his friend. And as the years pass, a legend grows of the half-breed and the white man who ride together. Jerk killing iron with the best of them. Wise in the ways of a lawless land, blood brothers deal out their own brand of frontier justice. And when they ride a hot and dusty trail into the heart of the American West looking for excitement, they find it in spades.
We ain't got no truck with you, Bodine, but we're taking that damn engine in for questioning.
I doubt that. What do you want to question me for?
Two settler families was killed early yesterday morning. The Redskins what done it moved west and slaughtered two more families early this morning.
What does that have to do with Two Wolves?
We figured it just might be his bunch.
You idiot. I don't have a band of followers.
Don't you call me no idiot, you goddamn heathen savage.
You men are way out of line.
Like hell. We aim to hang that damn engine, Bodine.
I'm vouching for him.
Shit. Why should we trust you? You ain't nothing but an engine-loving son of a... Ah!
Get ready to saddle up and gallop into adventure with Matt Bodine and Sam Two Wolves in William W. Johnstone's Blood Bond.
If you can't find that hot graphic audio title you're looking for, just head to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD or MP3 disc format. Or, the fastest and cheapest way, download that puppy and play it on any of the many devices that'll play Windows Media. And if you're on the road or just a total computer feeb, snatch up the phone and call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net.